We hope that you'll support your public radio station here this morning by going to the website, WMUK.org, and clicking on the Donate Now button. I have some wonderful guests here in the studio today, and we are going to be talking about an event, Farmers Alley Theater. Jeremy Siskind is here, James Richardson from the School of Music. I would like to encourage people to make that pledge to support local programs on WMUK, things you can't hear anywhere else, things that reflect the musical landscape of West Michigan. And I think, Jeremy, you agree with that idea.
I do, and particularly Kara Lawrence and her amazing show. This is where you go to figure out what you're going to see during the weekend in Kalamazoo, what the great new artistic project is happening. I hope you all realize how lucky you are to have somebody like Kara here to have shows like this that are engaged with the artistic community. So please do support WMUK.
It's nice to give a sounding board to creative artists like yourself and from all walks of life. You know, I'll be talking to a recorder player one day, jazz artist the next, and just as in yesterday, an Israeli orchestra conductor. You don't know what's going to happen when you tune in at 10
It's all here in Kalamazoo.
So you're able to make a difference right now by pledging at WMUK.org and click on the big red donate button. So this is a new piece from you, Jeremy. It's called Unfriended, and it's a theater piece. That's very exciting.
Yes, it is a new / recycled piece, to be honest. What's happening Friday and Saturday is that there's a staged reading of a musical, which means that we'll have all the music, we'll have all the script, we'll have some sort of stage directions and sets, but it's not going to be your shiny dance number, full-blown musical. And people have been asking me, when did you find time to write a musical? And I did not. What I've actually done is that I have a lot of songs that I've written over the past 4 or 5 years that I love dearly. And many of them I've thought, you know, would be really appropriate for this kind of setting. So I gave the whole array, the whole catalog of songs to a playwright named Adam Payson, and he wove them in and out of a storyline. So this is the perfect situation for me because I'm getting a lot of credit for having done something without really having done much at all, to be honest. But it is a lifelong dream of mine to engage in the form of a Broadway musical. So I'm really excited for this as a first step. It's still on my bucket list to write a musical from scratch one day, but I am very proud of this work. And I think it's been fun for me watching my songs be reinvented and reimagined through the eyes of Adam and through the eyes of these characters.
And you brought along a cast member of Unfriended, which we should specify is not this Friday and Saturday, but next Friday, first weekend of April, at the Little Theater, presented by Farmers Alley. And I'd like to bring James Richardson into this conversation. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
James, you're in school here at Western. What year are you, and where did you grow up?
I grew up on the east side of the state in Milford, Michigan, and I came to Kalamazoo when I found out about Western's Jazz Studies program. So I'm actually a graduating senior of the Jazz Studies program at Western. So this opportunity for me is super exciting. Actually, the last time I had an opportunity to really perform in a musical work was a couple years ago over on the east side. So I'm really excited, especially with the jazz harmony and the music that Jeremy has brought to the production. I'm very excited to be a part of it and kind of use my jazz background to help facilitate and serve the show. So
you're acting, you're singing, you're memorizing.
Yeah.
This whole piece. There's only four of you in this staged reading of the show. So what are you focusing on? How did you break it down into a workable way of presenting it?
I started with the music because that's, you know, obviously where I'm the most comfortable, but I was super excited about, memorizing lines and kind of learning the plot of the show. We will be running through the script very shortly in a few hours. So it's going to be very exciting to the both of the women who are in the production are musical theater majors. So it will be an awesome opportunity to kind of work with them. And
is that like two worlds colliding?
What are you saying? It is like two worlds colliding. And Christian, the other male who's in the production, he's also a jazz studies major. So it really is two worlds colliding. And it's super exciting to learn from each other.
And yes, Carrie, you heard right. We have not actually read this script through yet. That's happening at 4 o'clock today. And actually, the playwright's going to do rewrites over the weekend. So this is all happening right before your eyes.
Oh,
for people who come on April 7th and 8th, they'll be seeing really, truly the very first step in, you know, what hopefully will be a long process of getting this show up to its full potential, to its full value.
Yeah, yeah. So this is invaluable to you as performers and creators to get in front of an audience as soon as possible and see what works and what doesn't. This is how shows are made, right?
You know, honestly, for me, I'm not in this world. I'm not involved in the theater world. So this is all very new to me. So I'm putting a lot of trust in the people at Farmers Alley. And I want to thank all of them, particularly Jeremy Koch, who's really been with this project from the very beginning, and Adam Wiener and that whole family. They've been very supportive in getting this show up and running, even despite, you know, it takes so much effort, so much cost, so many risks to put a musical on, so many people. So just for them to have taken the chance on this from the beginning is really a beautiful thing, and it's really deeply appreciated.
Shows are at 8 o'clock next Friday and Saturday in the Little Theater at Farmers Alley, and you can find full information on tickets at farmersalleytheater.com. This Adam Payson character, I'm excited to hear more about him, knowing that he's an alumnus of Western.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I believe he got his doctorate in playwriting in the theater program here. And now he's in L.A. doing various projects. I know he's been a visiting professor a few places around the country. And it's been he's been such a good partner for me in terms of placing my songs, listening to where I think the song should go, and having a lot of flexibility, as well as bringing that knowledge from the theater world of, well, this will work for this reason, or, you know,
yes,
that's not going to, you know, fit there, and here's exactly why, because of the way it's staged, or because of the entrances and exits, you know, all these things that just don't occur to me as a guy who just writes songs and plays piano.
Well, you know how we spend time in school breaking down symphony structures, and we break down jazz structures and things like that. There is a whole formula to theater as well. There's highs and lows, and you need to put them in certain orders, and it's a formula that the greatest musicals have, so that you leave on this incredible high note of having had a terrific night at the theater.
Yeah.
Hopefully after we read it through for today, we'll figure out how that should all flow.
And
it's so hard to imagine the pacing, you know, the climax, things like that are so hard to know on the page until you actually go and start singing and acting and playing music.
Having the proper inflection is key. Just like reading through the script for the first time a couple days ago, and just knowing like how to respond to a certain line. If you say a certain way, it's going to mean an entirely different meaning. So that's one thing I'll be really paying attention to today while reading through the script.
Adam, Mr. Payson will be there.
Yes, he's arriving today from California, and he'll be directing the show.
And so it's kind of his voice that is on the page, and you'll be able to take a lot from his instruction or interpretation.
Yeah, I'm so excited for it.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
That's really great. Well, I've gotten to know some of your songs over the years, and know and love a number of them, and I wondered which ones you picked out for Unfriended.
Yeah, so let's start with a piece called Sometimes I Wander, and this is sung by probably the most upbeat character in Unfriended, whose name is Jen, and the basic plot is that there's these two couples who are friendly, and one is very engaged on social media, the internet, their telephones, and one kind of decides to sign off. And so it tracks the dissonance in their relationship between somebody who's really out there in terms of the digital world and people who would rather turn inwards. So this is actually Jen giving some advice to her friend who might decide what to do while they're offline. So this is called Sometimes I Wander.
I should make a note that this is a live performance recorded at the Fontana Summer Festival on July 30th with Nancy Harms singing, Lucas Pino on reeds, and Jeremy Siskin at the piano. Great song, Jeremy.
Thank you. Right, that'll fit right into a musical, right? I'm not crazy.
It sounds a little more complicated, I'll be honest, than a lot of dun, 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 kind of ways that musical songs start off.
Yeah, that recording was pretty fast. We're not going to go quite that fast in the musical, but I kind of like this opportunity to bring in some other influences. You know, there's certainly trends on Broadway of bringing in a little bit of everything. So to bring in something like that, which is based on a perpetual motion etude, this constant barrage of piano notes every single beat.
Are you playing on for the shows next Friday and Saturday?
Yes, I'll be playing. My good friend and colleague, Dr. Andrew Rathman, will be playing with me as well. So it'll be an intimate band for the first run. My dream would be to have a larger ensemble someday when we have a larger production. But for now, I think it'll be really fun and perfect for the setting.
I'm talking to Professor Jeremy Siskind and a student in the jazz department, James Richardson, here today on WMUK. We're talking about Unfriended, which is a show that's getting its feet wet next Friday and Saturday at the Little Theater. This is a chance for feedback. It's a chance to see how the audience reacts and to see where the show is ultimately going to end up. Let's talk about the plot again. You've got four characters, and what's the deal with them?
James, you want to take that?
Well, there's two couples. So my character is named David, and Jen is my partner. Now, I'm kind of a control freak, I would say. So with technology, I really don't want Jen or I posting about our relationship. One of the first scenes is I'm actually going shopping for a gift for Jen with Keith, my friend, and he wants to post a bunch of pictures and
about the shopping trip,
and I'm like, it's a surprise. Like, but then he reminds me that we don't really check Facebook anyways, and Jen would never see. So I'm like, why not? So it's pretty funny, just the dynamic between Keith and I, and then knowing our relationship, that Jen and I just do not participate in technology and digital media. We're not part of that. On the other hand, Keith and Kelly are very much immersed in social media, and they post every little tidbit of their life to social media. What you'll come to find is that it's not this is a plot twist. So, but maybe I'll save that for next weekend.
So, I was dealing with things that on a daily basis, we're making decisions about, and it's either driving us crazy or we're so grateful to live in this day and age. We can find news that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know that reading through the script, I found a lot of things that I've debated over and over again in my mind to be right there. You know, I'm often tempted to completely sign off of technology altogether, but you risk alienating your friends and your loved ones, losing communication with people, missing out on big life events. And so, you know, how do you find your balance? How do you determine it for yourself in this digital age? Is it possible to live offline? Is it possible to live and maintain your sanity and normal relationships if you're living out on every social media platform. So I think it's very current. I think it's very relevant.
Well, and it's something that you've been thinking about for a while now because of how you collaborated with your friend Lucas Pino, who in that case was writing the music, and you came up with the lyrics to a song cycle, essentially, yeah. Called the Turing Test.
Yeah, it was called Golden Rule Turing Test, yeah. And it was all about, that was specifically dealing with compassion in the digital age. Are we able to feel the same kind of relationships for one another in this age of so much technology, so much access? And there's definitely a lot of overlap. This is more looking at relationships and how they may or may not fray based on the way that we interact, not only in person, but now we have this whole added component. What is the etiquette of having a relationship online? What's the etiquette of having a friendship online? You know, there's all these brand new waters that we have to navigate.
It's great. The person that I want to be online is actually slightly different than the person I really am. Mm. And it gets you into trouble sometimes.
It does. And James's character gets to sing a song called Humble Brag, which is one of our favorite songs in the show. So those, if anybody saw Golden Rule Turing Test, they'll remember that song. You want to just tell them about that tune?
Basically, I'm dragging Keith because for every little, you know, ounce of him that loves technology, I'm just kind of pretending to sort of embodying his spirit and talking about how, you know, every part of my life, like if I were him, like I'd be posting to technology, like it would surpass like the purity of the relationship. It would surpass everything. It's pretty exaggerated. But it's funny because it's kind of my way of coping with the fact that my relationship is different than his with Kelly. So it's almost a coping mechanism for David, but it's a good way to just kind of get that anger and frustration out at, you know, how different Keith lives his life. It's a lot of fun to sing. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think my favorite line is something like, sure, I'm posting lots. Sure, I stretch the truth. Yes, I Instagram my meals. It's not to boast. It's just the toast I ate looked kind of like Tom Cruise.
Humble brag, as a word that had to be invented in this day and age.
Yes. Actually invented by a comedy writer named Harris Whittles, I believe.
Yeah.
He was a writer for Modern Family.
Oh, wow, you really know your...
I do. I know my neologisms.
That's a great word.
But we're also dealing with online addiction, you know, the ways that chemicals are released in our brain as we get a new text or a new alert or some other sort of...
I think I know where you're going, Jeremy.
I think you do.
I do need to make a clumsy segue to relationships and relationships with your public radio station,
yes.
If that's all right. If you're listening right now to Jeremy Siskin and James Richardson with me here on WMUK, know that you are included and you're necessary to this broadcast station, this service, which is not possible without listener donations. We need to hear from you by with a pledge to WMUK.org. There's a big red donate button. It'll take a minute or two of your day. It doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg. In fact, it shouldn't. It should be a whole bunch of people coming together with little bits of what they can afford and keeping this service safe and strong and free. Free press is a phrase that we use a lot, and the free part refers to journalists being able to do their job without interference and report the facts as they find them. But it isn't actually free to operate, so we need your help at WMUK.org.
And it actually relates because some people might be comfortable getting their information about politics, arts, by just watching short 30-second political ads or seeing what pops up in their Facebook feed. But listeners to WMUK are not like that. They want more depth, more information. They don't just want that ding on their phone to tell them what concert to go to. They want to get to know the music, the artists, the context.
I call that reading these sudden headlines and these 30 and watching 30-second ads, a whiplash feeling,
yeah.
Where you go from one extreme to the next, back and forth, until you're completely dizzy. Here, it's there's no whiplash. It's a nice, steady cruise and an accumulation of good reporting, good facts, and, of course, focus on the arts, which bring us all something a little extra, something else that is very meaningful to who we are as people, I strongly believe. Make your donation, WMUK.org, and let's unsegue back to dopamine.
Yeah, so, I mean, we bring that whiplash to ourselves, right? Because each time we get one of those little notifications or click on an online headline, we get a little bit of a ping to the brain of this chemical called dopamine, which is addictive. So there's actually a condition that involves being addicted to being online, to social media, Twitter, Facebook. And so this is a song in which one of the characters discusses, it's kind of a drugged out love song to this addiction, to this chemical that they get in their brain. So this song is called Dopamine.
Kiss me again, so I can taste your poison tongue. I swoon and sway, just thinking about your touch. Drown me in warmth, lend me the rush of your embrace. My magic beams, my licorice stick black hole. Kiss me again, so I can taste your poison tongue. Swoon and sway, just feeling you flow through my veins.
It's Lucas Pino, Dopamine.
That's a performance from July 30th in the Williams Theater here at Western Michigan University with Jeremy Siskin on keyboard and Nancy Harms vocals, Fontana Summer Festival performance. And you're hearing it here on WMUK because Jeremy Siskin is my guest, and we're featuring songs that will be part of a new theater piece called Unfriended, which has a pretty delightful sounding plot. Two couples who with different relationships to social media, and I think tables get turned.
Tables may be turned. I don't want to give anything away, but I wouldn't get too comfortable at any one table.
This is a chance for the audience to hear something for the very, very first time. It's a premiere, and it also is something you might be able to follow as it develops. Where do you think this could go?
Well, we've had some interest from some presenting groups in maybe taking this on next year and doing a more full-blown production. One of the things that I've learned from working with my playwright, Adam Payson, is that there's all kinds of programs that are kind of like incubators for musicals that just like a new startup technology program might apply for an incubator program to really get them off the ground. Mm-hmm. It's such a long and arduous process to create a musical that there's all these little pop-up opportunities to workshop, to add scenes, to add choreography.
They could be anywhere in the country, too. They could be all over.
I'm relying on Adam a lot to kind of point me to what might be appropriate for our project, but he seems to think that this might have legs, might have a continued life. We certainly hope that it does after this performance in Kalamazoo, but this is a great first step.
How do you feel being involved with the beginning of something that might end up on stages around the country?
It's a blessing for sure. I'm very excited. I'd never thought, like, especially going through like my career as like my path as like a jazz vocalist through the jazz studies program at Western, I never thought that I would be finishing off my senior year in a stage reading for a new musical, but I'm super thankful, and it's exciting to envelop like more of the performing aspects involved with musical theater. and just kind of targeting those qualities and trying to improve my craft even more. So I'm looking forward to it, and I can't wait to see where it takes off.
Do you know where you'll be studying or going on after Western just yet?
Hopefully to possibly do some session work somewhere or seeing backgrounds. I'm not sure where yet. I'm kind of seeing where my road takes me, but.
Who's your main faculty mentor here?
Greg Jaspers. I actually just got done performing in the Miller Show this past February.
Royally done.
So I've had a lot of exciting opportunities to look forward to this entire semester, and it's been incredible.
What's it like to work with your fellow jazz vocalist Christian Diaz?
Oh, it's awesome. We've been good friends ever since we both came to Western. It was the same year that we both got here. Him as a transfer and myself as a freshman. I always love performing and singing with him. So we got really excited. I think we freaked out. We're like, oh, you're in this too? And we were super excited to work together. So
really great.
Yeah.
And James and Christian commented that their characters actually perfectly embody
They're cast well.
Yeah, apparently, right?
I can't even tell you all the times I've tried to get rid of Facebook. No, no, but they really do. Like, we could not see ourselves being the other role. Like, and it's funny. We were like, Jeremy, what did you say to Adam, like, about our characters? Did you tell him about us? No, but really, the characters were designed so perfectly for we couldn't see it any other way. So we're super excited to act in our roles specifically. So. Yeah.
Well, once again, my guests here today are Jeremy Siskind and James Richardson. The show is Unfriended, and it premieres at the Farmer's Alley Theater on Friday and Saturday.
It's at the Little Theater, presented by Farmer's Alley.
I guess, yeah, that's I've gotten so used to having their home be the Little Theater it's been a couple of seasons now, and by all accounts, they really enjoy the space there. It's a bigger space and a bigger crowd and some neat possibilities in staging there. Do you know what this is going to look like? This hasn't gone as far as sets and things like that.
I have no idea. yeah, as I said earlier, I'm so out of my element here. I don't even really know the right questions to ask. So thankfully, I have my partner, Adam Payson, as well as the fantastic people at Farmer's Alley holding my hand through this. But I'm not getting involved in any of those parts
of the production. You're going to show up and they'll tell you where to sit and play.
Well, a little bit more than that. I am musical directing the whole thing, but... the theater world is very foreign to me. So things like set, lighting, staging, all of those things are new considerations for me.
Are you going to be prepared to take advice from all quarters here after seeing how this plays in front of a crowd?
No, sorry. I did say to Adam, the playwright, that I tend to be a control freak. So, I'm trying to give him as much leash and trust him to do what he does well as much as possible. And that's what I like to do in collaborations. If I'm really happy, as I am in this case with my collaborators, I like to just let them do what they do well. And then hopefully, they'll also trust me to do what I do well. But, I'm certainly happy to take advice in terms of those dramatic elements, changes that might need to be made to the songs to express the characters better or to make the pacing more effective. So everything is fair game right now. It's just exciting to be at that point.
I've just read a lot of stories about how shows that eventually succeeded on Broadway had very painful startups.
Well, fortunately, I haven't read any of those stories. So I'm not going into it with any preconceptions other than unadulterated optimism.
You can make your pledge right now at WMUK.org. Click on the Donate Now button. And Jeremy Siskind and James Richardson are here with me today. Let's hear maybe a more tender moment from the show.
Sure. Do you want to talk about housewarming?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember specifically housewarming's towards the end of the show. I believe at the moment where Jen and David are having sort of a falling out. So Housewarming is a song that it just talks about how things are going so well and it's such a beautiful romantic moment with your partner, and then all of a sudden your partner is no longer with you, and the feelings of disparity and emptiness that you feel, hoping that they will come back to you. So it's a very beautiful moment.
We're going to hear Nancy Harms again in this recording from the album Housewarming. In the show, you're singing as well? Is it a duet?
Actually, this is a funny question because this is something that's actually still up in the air, is which character is going to end up singing this song.
Fantastic. We're getting a real behind-the-scenes look.
A couple different characters have actually prepared this song, believe it or not.
Saturday, you said you'd be mine. We stayed up real late in a joyous state, and we slept through Sunday. We'll have a big old fire in that new little house. It'll be a house
from the album Housewarming. That is the title track. And we heard, was it Kurt Elling?
It's Peter Eldridge.
Peter Eldridge on vocals. I forgot about all the guest artists on this album. And Jeremy Siskind is my guest here, along with James Richardson. The show Unfriended goes up next Friday and Saturday with 8 o'clock performances in the Little Theater at the corner of Oakland Drive and Oliver. And it's a presentation of Farmer's Alley Theater. So you can find full ticket information and details at farmersalleytheater.com. But really a great way to support music being made here, something new being created, and something that may end up traveling around a bit.
That's the hope. It'll basically be a concert plus a plot.
Adam Payson is the, what do you call it, writing? He writes the book?
The playwright.
The playwright,
I guess.
Yeah, who has a lot of experience with script writing as a, I think he's a professional or also a professor of screenwriting, you said, and probably very good at working under pressure. And like you said, he'll be adjusting and rewriting, and things could change quite a lot between tonight's readings and next week.
Yes, that's the thought. Is as we mentioned earlier, today at 4 o'clock is the very first read through. I'm going to read it through, do all the music, and then we're going to kind of do a big huddle and talk about what went well, what could go better. And he's taking the entire weekend to do any rewrites necessary. And then we got to put this show up in 5 days, 4 days.
Hey, did you happen to see La La Land? Speaking of this whole topic, was that the name of the film that I think it was Pasek and Paul were part of the musician team that worked on that? Does that ring any bells, or have you been thinking about that the process through that medium too?
Yeah, so certainly I saw La La Land and I enjoyed it. And I thought the music was good. It fit in very well. I think probably as compared to a quote-unquote traditional musical, there was a little bit less music in there than you might expect. But I thought it was well done. And, you know, between that and Hamilton, there's certainly a renaissance of the musical, as a form, and then taking on new forms, which is really exciting. So if you don't mind, I'll tell you that I actually kind of became a musician in an odd way because of musicals. That my family, who's not really musical at all, is very interested in music because my grandfather was an accountant for a firm that produced Broadway musicals. So my dad, as a young boy, got to go to premieres and constantly was taken to the theater in New York, you know, the premiere of Guys and Dolls back in the day. And so my dad, who otherwise, you know, he's mostly like interested in baseball and like cars, knows like all these musicals by heart. And as a kid, I was introduced to them. So there's a little bit of a, you know, closing of the circle for me writing something like this, being a part of something like this. And it's really exciting.
That's a wonderful story. It brings me back to dopamine, though, because theater is kind of a rush, too. Mm. And your grandfather would have been a bit addicted to the highs and lows, no doubt. Of
it could be. Staging. He was. I don't know if he was addicted to crunching those numbers, but, you know, it's a privileged position to be in. So that's kind of exciting. And I've actually... completely coincidentally, I've been the musical director for the Obie Awards, the Off-Broadway Awards in New York. I was the musical director last year, and I'll be doing it again this year. So I've gotten been exposed to some Off-Broadway work and some Off-Broadway practices and players in that scene as well. So it's an interesting journey to for me to have, you know, arrived here. But as I said, it's exciting to be a part of it.
I've thought ever since I learned you also have a degree in literature that this sort of makes sense for you to put together a show that it brings not only music together but plot and storyline and considering the words and the poetry of a piece.
So. Yeah, I mean, I'm so interested in the way that words fit together and the way that characters are built in the different styles of writing a lyric, whether it's more elegiac, whether it's more, you know, a Broadway verse that has all these rapid fire rhymes. So it's fun for me to experiment with the genre and to see these songs that I've written in various stages of my life come together in this project.
Well, during the music, you started thinking about perhaps a limerick for public radio that may eventually be of great use here on WMUK during our pledge drive. So we'll look forward to a public radio limerick, perhaps.
Fantastic.
In the meantime, people can support public radio with a pledge at WMUK.org. Our website has a donate button on it, and once you click that, it'll just take a minute or two to get through the form, and it's a safe, secure server, and we hope that you'll take that action right now. James, I have been leaving you out of the conversation for a little bit.
It's totally cool.
What are your final thoughts on being part of Unfriended?
Well, I'm incredibly excited and honored to be a part of the production. I've never had to rehearse a musical theater production in less than the typical, I think, 8-week period.
But it's 1 week. That's pretty good.
I know. It's really exciting to know, like, if you put in the work and put in all the dedication, like, you really can get yourself, you know, trained and ready to be, embody that character and to put on that production. I would just like to thank Jeremy for giving me the opportunity, and I encourage you all to come out next weekend, and I'm really excited to share my character with you.
And Jeremy?
I have nothing else to say other than come out April 7th and 8th, next Friday and Saturday, and experience this music with us in a whole new way. Shall I introduce the last song?
That would be exactly what I was going to ask you to do.
Perfect. So this is a song that I've always thought would work in a musical. James's character gets to sing this song, and it's called The Inevitable Letdown. And the song's about how we have all these expectations of life, of future events, of people. And even though sometimes things are great, our dreams and our expectations are always going to fall a little bit short of that because we're so idealistic by nature.
Right.
So this is kind of a fun little song that talks about that sometimes we just have too high of expectations for things that are out there in the future.
And once again, we'll go to the live performance in the Williams Theater presented by Fontana's Summer Festival. Jeremy Siskind on piano, Nancy Harms on vocals, and Lucas Pino on reeds. And Jeremy and James, thank you so much for previewing the show with us today.
Thank you, Kara. Donate to WMUK, everybody.
Light yourself a cigarette, my boy. light it with a star, and comb your hair with reams of moonbeams gathered from afar. And if you should ever feel loneliness creeping.